Well, thank you, and good morning. Got up this morning. It was a beautiful, sunshiny day. Opened the drapes. There was citrus. I thought I was back in Florida. I guess California and Florida have a lot in common. Several of you have asked for the cross-reference that I mentioned on the panel. That's all that it is. It just lists the doctrines and has the references. We've made several copies, and they're over on the book table, if you would like. Before we get started, we wanted to bring the love of the Orlando Brethren. We voted several times during the week to do so, and so it's our privilege to bring that love to you. If you were listening yesterday during one of the talks, you'll remember they quoted this scripture from 1 Timothy 3:1, "Perilous times shall come." And we've been looking pretty exclusively at doctrines this couple of days of conventions, and I'm going to look more prophetically at some things that are on the horizon that may have a profound effect on every one of our lives. Today we're going to look at some events and technologies that are on the horizon and the impacts they may have on our lives. I'm going to warn you that a good part of this talk is going to be on necessary to establish the background for what the real point is. And I will give you the facts based on my research over the last 14 months, what this issue is. Now, some parts of this talk may sound like an updated version of the fourth volume, where the pastor describes present conditions in a great degree of detail. But we have a perspective that was not possible in his day because we're roughly 100 years farther down the stream of time. And so many of these prophecies that he tried to describe in terms of the technologies of mankind at his time, we're going to just update. Now, I'm a database administrator and have been in data processing for over 20 years now. And I'm in a unique position because I'm both a Bible student and considered a computer expert. Back in 1996, this is the Vera talk, Sister Vera Bleachers came up to me at the Phoenix Convention. And, you know, they have the New Year's convention, so on the news, every New Year's, they kind of get into a topic called Year 2000. So she came up to me and said, "Brother Bob, I heard that all the computers are going to crash in the year 2000. Is this the beginning of the end?" You know, I was pretty quick to answer. "This has been grossly exaggerated. It's media hype. Don't worry a lot about it." Well, on second thought, I went back, and as a computer professional, I get a lot of literature. There's a lot of magazines and trades, and I had been clipping Year 2000 articles all along, but I just hadn't taken time to look at them because we've been aware of the Year 2000 problem for the last 20 years, since I've been in anyway. And I started to read up. And then I went out on the Internet and I started to read. 15 days later, I produced a white paper for Florida Hospital that really changed both my work life and had some impacts on my spiritual life as well. I am now the lead technical consultant for a $3 million plus effort for Year 2000 at Florida Hospital. So we went from no budget to $3 million this year. And we're going to discuss some of the ramifications of this problem, and then we're going to apply them to Bible student effects and spiritual effects as well. We're going to give you some insights in what has been described as the forest fire threatening global information resources. And this potential firestorm is 674 days away. That's when the 1999 Phoenix Convention is, by the way. The world right now is kind of in a condition described in Revelation 3:17. "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." You know, we're in a very prosperous period now in the United States, and really it's trickling over to worldwide. We're in a period when wages are increasing, there's prosperity, the crime rate seems to be going down, at least for the time being. When we look at what's happening in the world, we realize that electronics and the media are really the driving forces of this technology revolution that has changed each and every one of our lives. If you turn on the TV now, you see "Check us at www.something.com or org. And if you don't know how to surf the net, you feel a little bit deficient. I know I was in Pittsburgh, And the brethren I was staying with there wanted to go out on the net and see what this homepage was, the Bible Students homepage, so we did that. You feel somewhat deficient, and that's what the marketing forces would like you to feel. They would like you to buy. We're going to get into the root of some of that. This love affair with information technology is no mistake in God's plan. But what does it mean? How does it fit into God's plan? And how will this affect the final trouble? And that's really what the focus of all of our thoughts this morning are going to be. We're going to explore and give some insights into some things that will soon come to pass. Now, what is the year 2000 problem? Well, since the dawn of computing, most computers and computer systems have represented the year portion of dates as 2 years, as two digits. And this bug is really found in most computer hardware and software, especially the older models. So when the computer says 97, you say 1997, right? And now the computer says 98, so we think 1998. It's when we sign our mail, we usually just put 98, right? We assume that it thinks the same. So when the computer says 99, we think 1999. But when the computer says 00, many computers will think 1900. And we'll think 2000, right? That's really the crux of the beginning of the problem. So after midnight on December 31st, 1999, many computers will say 00, or you might return that as uh-oh, because that's really what may happen. And what's the big deal? Well, when it comes to calculations, there is a significant difference between 1900 and 2000. I'll give you a few examples. In 1992, Mary Bandar of Winona, Minnesota, was invited to join the kindergarten class because she was born in 88. Boy, were they surprised when that letter of invitation was received at the nursing home. She was born in 1888 and was in fact 104 years old. In 1995, a major insurance carrier started losing active accounts. It turned out that the computer dropped any accounts that had not received payments in the last 5 years. So when a payment came in 1995, it added 5 to 95, came up with 00, and said that hasn't been paid in the last 100 years or the last 95 years, therefore delete the account. This is reality. That company started losing active accounts that year, and people started calling in with questions on their policies. Their policies had been deleted. Oops. A federal prison released prisoners prematurely. The computer that calculated the release dates became confused, as they said. It wasn't really confused, it was a bug. Over the year 2000, and when they calculated how long they were supposed to stay in prison, it said they've been in far too long. They should be released. Pacific Bell, and I talked to the technicians personally, tested one of their telephone switches to see how it would handle calls that were made over the turn of century. It turned out that a 2-minute call showed up as a 52 million minute call and gave a telephone bill of $7,889,000. Now, brethren, put this in perspective. Whether you're using MCI, Sprint, or AT&T, it's going to make a lot of difference between 9 and 10 cents a minute at those rates. Besides problems with date representations, calculations, and spans, year 2000 is also a leap year. And this is something that happens only every 400 years. So very few of the computer programs figured this out correctly, because computers have not been around for 400 years. It wasn't an issue. To make matters worse, many computers will not allow you to put in February 29th, 2000. And even the ones that do then may have a problem with the day of week calculation for the rest of the year. Is this a problem? A bank tested its time entry system on their vault. You've all been in the bank, and usually you put the vault down in the basement. It's very secure. Big walk-in, gigantic multi-ton door, right? They tested their vault. The vault, and found that the vault opened on Saturday, January 1, 2000. It's a Saturday. Thinking that it was Monday, January 1st, 1900. So that means that on Thursday, Friday of that week, the vault would be locked because the vault door thinks it's the weekend. To make matters worse, the only way to correct this problem is to have the vault door removed and sent back to the manufacturers. But there's a further problem. You know where they put the vaults? Down in the basement. And they put them there before they build the building. That's security. So you may have to do major renovations and actually tear apart part of the building to get that vault door out. You still think it's not a problem? These are just a few examples of why it is a big deal. There's five problems represented here. First problem is date representation, where they don't fully represent the date. The year is four digits. Second is a rollover problem. Many computers will not correctly roll over to the year 2000. They'll think it's 1900 or January 4th, 1980. We'll talk about that, many personal computers especially. Third is a date span and calculation problem. Fourth is a day of week problem. And fifth is a leap year problem. So when we talk about the year 2000 problem, it's not one problem, it's five. But it gets worse. Now, let me ask you a question. Why haven't you heard more? Who has heard of the year 2000 problem? You know, the hands are raising more. I mean, we have articles like this in USA Today where we have a whole page that is nothing but we're not sure, 100% sure of the year 2000's impact. That's a scary article, by the way. It's getting more and more in the press. But why haven't you heard more? Well, Peter DeJager is a year 2000 expert, and he says basically that in order to be pressworthy, it must cause a loss in excess of $1 million. And there have been many examples. In 1996, which was, remember, a leap year, there were some computer problems where people didn't calculate leap year properly. The Brussels Stock Exchange crashed. A smelter in New Zealand, their computerized system crashed, and as a result, they have these big smelting pots, and the furnaces didn't cut off, and they melted through. So that was in excess of $1 million. An Australian hardware device manufacturer had a leap year problem that cost over $1 million. And the Arizona State Lottery had a problem with calculations that cost them over $1 million. Those are the four that got in the news. So there's like a $1 million threshold. But why haven't you heard more? Well, for one thing, there's a number of businesses. Late last year, the estimate was 30% of businesses were still completely unaware of the problem. 88% of businesses with less than 2,000 employees hadn't even started on resolving the problem, but it is a real problem. You can see from some of the examples. Large businesses currently are spending more than 22% of their data processing budgets on this effort, and that's expected to grow to 55% in the next 2 years. To give you some idea, we have at the hospital now cut off all new development and all discretionary requests. We are only doing regulatory requests, emergency fixes in year 2000. That's all the hospital is doing data processing wise. So we're seeing this shift in throughout business. The current estimate to fix this problem is $600 billion, and the high estimate goes up to $1 trillion in the United States. And it is estimated that in the United States alone, there will be another $1 trillion worth of litigation over this because the lawyers have already started to respond to this. In May of 1996, the American Bar Association Journal, the entire magazine was on the year 2000. And some of the things they said this was going to be bigger than savings and loan, tobacco, and all of these other recent things combined. The vultures are circling. Why should you be concerned? You've heard the saying that time is money, so when time doesn't get calculated properly, neither does money. We're going to look at some additional factors to this. What I want to state to you very clearly is this is no coincidence in God's plan. Productivity, efficiency, and automation have been the buzzwords of businesses during the 80s and 90s, and it's built upon a pyramid model. What we did at the hospital is we have our registration index, we have our price file, and then we built systems upon systems upon systems, and they're all leveraged upon those lower layers. And that's really the way business does it. They build a basic layer, and then they build another more complex layer onto the next. Technology and automation are the things that have boosted productivity and allowed this to be possible. and computers have allowed us to reduce margins and trim excess waste. And this is very significant. If you look at the UPS strike of last year, that crippled many small businesses. And the reason was that the shippers had all trimmed their capacities to where they met the market need and didn't have much excess capacity. So what happened when UPS strike? Why didn't the post office, FedEx, and all the other ones pick up the slack? Because they couldn't. They had their market niches, which could vary a small percentage, but they weren't equipped to all of a sudden handle 30% more. This is found in all businesses, whether you're a baker, a computer operator, a manufacturer. We have what's called just-in-time everything now. We don't keep any inventory. We keep one day's inventory in the hospital. So all of our suppliers are just in time. This is no mistake in God's plan. All of this productivity, a lot of that is based on increased automation. And this is largely a result of our little friend here, the microprocessor. This is a microchip. I have to tape it in my notebook so I don't lose it because it's the size of my thumbnail or my little pinky nail. This is the basis of many of these productivity gains. Business is now totally dependent on computerized systems. I'll give you an example of a technology that has changed the way we live, and that's the compact disc. Everyone's seen those or has them in their computers, the compact disc. That compact disc, for instance, costs 6 cents worth of materials, and you can put 26 feet of manuals. So what IBM does now is when they ship us our manuals, that would be almost twice the length of this podium. A set of manuals laid twice the length of this podium, I can put that on one CD. How much does that CD cost? 6 cents. They do not ship us any paper manuals anymore. Boeing, same thing. All of their technical manuals for the Boeing 747 are on plastic CDs in the back of the plane. What's the impact of that? Why do we care? Well, when that technology doesn't work, you can't go to the book. What's the impact of that? Kind of reminded me of what the Apostle Paul said. You know, the world right now is building wisdom upon wisdom, and this technology is like running faster and faster. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God." And, you know, mankind has a sense of humor, and I have to imagine that although the world is in a sin-sick and dying state right now, God's got to be chuckling a little bit. Man thinks they're so wise. We've done all of these wonderful things. And yet our technologies may soon betray us. This is no coincidence in God's plans. Free market economies and global markets are really the driving forces of the 1990s. Economists tell us now that large businesses are more influential than national governments, even the government of the United States. Many Fortune 100 companies have larger budgets than most small countries. And the U.S., this is a statement from a news magazine, is no longer in charge of its economic destiny. We're no longer in charge of it. We're on a train and it's going faster and faster, and we can't steer it. This represents a basic shift of power from governments to economics that has never been seen before. Now, we realize the toes are being broken. We've got more countries every year. If you just did a list of countries, that line's going up. We're fragmenting. We were talking to some of the Canadian brethren, of course. The French Canadians want to make their own country. You know, it's happening all around us. But from an economic standpoint, the world has never been as unified as they are today. Economies of scale and complex business structures can only be supported by computers. I don't know if you've looked at some of these companies, but they've got so many subsidiaries and sub-companies. The only way you can manage all of that is with the computer. As a result of retirement investments in stocks, the market is now seriously overvalued, even with the adjustments that came last year in October 1997 when the communist Chinese stock market crashed and caused markets all over the world to crash. Remember that? They called it Hong Kong, but remember that's communist China. It had an impact. We are no longer in charge of our economic destiny. economics is starting to glue the world together into what seemingly could become another universal empire. Of course, we realize based on Scripture that that's not going to happen. But this is what the trend is at the moment. Economics is based on one thing, the love of money, the love of material things. Money is power in today's society. We're warned against this in James 5:3. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. And you know, we were talking about this last night. You know, when we went from an agricultural economy into an industrial economy, the wealth of the world increased 20 times. When we go from an economy that's into the information economy, the wealth of the world is supposed to increase 1,000 times. This is no mistake in God's plan. And that information technology revolution started some 35 years ago. We're just starting to see the maturity now. Microsoft has more millionaires per capita within their company than any other company in the world. This is no mistake in God's plan. Business complexity. We realize that we can never get enough computer capacity. Even if you have a personal computer, you always need something that's faster, with more storage, with a prettier display, with sound, da 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 da. And that's really a marketing strategy. They want to keep us buying the newest, latest, greatest. And the world loves it. We love our technology choice. This is why the internet, the new electronic business as it's called, is jammed with people trying to get on. It's strangled just like a rush hour traffic jam. But as complexity goes up, so does the complexity within the hardware, the software, the applications, and so forth. Let me give you one example of business complexity. I remember when I was very young back in the 50s and I opened up a bank account. It was what they called simple interest. So if I put in $100 and it was 5% interest, at the end of the year I had $105. This was really right at the start of the computer revolution. But today, it doesn't work that way. We've gone from simple interest to complex portfolios with multiple return on investments. You ever look at your retirement portfolio? Look, you can't figure it out. You just hope that they got all the numbers right. By one estimate, it would take the entire population of the state of California to calculate one day's banking transactions in the United States. Fact. That complexity has pushed us onto computers. And so what we do is, once we've got a computer that can do this, we go on to the next. So now we've got a great degree of complexity. I have been involved with Medicare reimbursement, and that has a complexity that you cannot imagine. No business would ever design that system. It had to be the federal government. It's so complex, so convoluted. The procedure costs us $5,000 or $4,000, and we get reimbursed completely different, and that's our problem to reconcile it. According to Washington Insiders, the Congress is seriously considering a flat tax or value-added tax starting in 1999 because the IRS cannot change their computerized systems to be year 2000 compliant before the year 2000. Their current estimate is they will be compliant in either 2003 or 2004, and they're optimists. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. This wisdom of the world is a trap, and we see that this trap is about to spring with complexity. This is no coincidence in God's plan. Business alliances and partnerships are the watchwords. That's how we do business now throughout the world. While small businesses are the bread and butter of the world, large businesses rules. Large businesses usually have many business units and even more business alliances. Information technology now involves sharing data between and transmitting data between businesses. all businesses are very dependent on this infrastructure. There's a thing called EDI, electronic data interchange. This has grown dramatically where we don't order over the phone anymore. We have an electronic data interchange to get our supplies at the hospital. It's very efficient, but it's increased complexity as well and allows us to trim margins and trim excess, all based on the dollar. Things like power transportation, telecommunications, and government regulations all are part of this infrastructure. Consider the impact of the UPS strike or any kind of regional disaster. It has an impact on us. I'll give you a real-life example on the UPS strike. Many small businesses chose just simply to wait until the strike was over to start shipping again. Now, last fall, my son was not working, and I said, Ben, you need to get a job. He's in college. So we say, well, you need to get a job. So he calls me up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and says, Dad, I got a job. Oh, great. Big smile across my face. He said, this T-shirt manufacturer wants me to fly to Des Moines, Iowa with a load of T-shirts to the Iowa State Fair because he can't get them there. So they had all of these embroidered T-shirts, no way to get them there. Now, if they didn't ship them, it was a tremendous loss and breach of contract. So what this manufacturer did is they hired two college kids to jump on a plane with 180 pounds of shirts in their suitcases, take them to the fair, immediately turn around and fly back. That was the UPS strike. Now, what if you have a UPS strike, the airlines aren't working right, traffic systems are sporadic, power systems down? What kind of effect is that going to have on things? This is no mistake in God's plan. There's a computer problem, and we're going to talk about it just briefly. You know that computers turn over now every 6 months, at least in the personal computing. There's a new model that's greater, faster, and all of that kind of thing. This has also had an impact, though, with the Internet and some of the other tools, leading to an increase of knowledge. And I am told that now knowledge increases and doubles every 2.5 to 3 years. The old figure was about 5 years. That's because they can coordinate information between users. You can get on the Internet. We have some friends that are doing some missionary work in Central Africa, and they're 2 days' drive from a real city, yet they have connectivity to the Internet and email, even in that village, via radio. So basically, it's accessible anywhere. Now, computers are built on multiple layers. Remember I told you there was at least five distinct problems with the year 2000. Well, there's at least five distinct layers in computers. The first is the hardware, which is that machine that sits on your desk that you pay a lot of money for. Next thing is your operating system, which is your Windows 95 or Windows 3.1 or whatever. That's another layer in there. Then there's things like your middleware, which would be your databases or whatever general programming structures there are. Then your actual applications, your America Online program that runs, and finally the interface. So I'm going to tell you there's five layers, and this is kind of like a sandwich. All of those layers work together. But it's also like a sandwich. What happens in a sandwich, sister, is when you put in bad meat that was old and expired, and it corrupts the whole thing, doesn't it? And really that computer model is the very same. All those five levels, if I have a problem at the hardware level, that'll affect everything else. If I have a problem with the operating system, that affects everywhere else. So all of those layers work in concert together. This kind of illustrates a biblical principle that we know is spoken of several times. We'll refer to 1 Corinthians 5:6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And just, of course, this was speaking along spiritual lines, but it's the same in this information structure, whether it be the interfaces or the hardware or the operating system or the application. Any problem on any one of those levels can corrupt the whole model. Most businesses run computers on several levels. We have at least 30 different types of computers and many, many different operating systems that we run at the hospital. So this is added to complexity in data processing. Computer people, as you know, are eternal optimists, if you've ever dealt with them. We're by nature very optimistic, and so we always give you a good estimate. And we love to solve problems. But I'll give you some facts. Only 18% of data processing projects come in on time, and 47% are never completed at all. The year 2000 is not a project that you can come in late on or fail on. It's a formula for disaster, and this Peter DeJager, the year 2000 expert, describes it as a truck, a semi-truck, hurtling at an immovable wall at 100 miles an hour. And we're trying to figure out when we should slam the brakes on. This is no mistake in God's plan. Add to this formula for disaster the fact that 90% of all computer systems today will have some problems with the year 2000, and technical people, as a result, are at an all-time high for demand. Current estimate is that there's a shortfall of over 200,000 technicians, computer technicians, in the United States today. So now that businesses decide they want to work on the problem, they can't get the people to do it. This is a situation that is very, very serious, and it is no coincidence in God's plans. Add to that another problem, the embedded system. You'll remember our little friend, the microprocessor. These things are everywhere. They're the foundation of our whole electronics industry. And in fact, if we opened up that amplifier, if we opened up a computer, if we opened up their mixer back there, if we opened up their recorder, there are microprocessors in every single one of those devices. My kids have gotten watches and calculators and games in the cereal boxes, and those all have microprocessors, our little friend. The average car today has over 50 microprocessors to control all of the systems in there, whether it be the oxygen mix, the fuel injection, all that. 50, that's the average. Virtually everything that has a battery or electricity, if it has any kind of clock or data on it, has a microprocessor, and it's because you can put, quote, behaviors into a machine. And this is something that Brother Jim is well aware of in his work. Here's something I got just a couple of years ago. It's a birthday card. Oops, doesn't work. Darn thing. Brought to you via a microprocessor. So they're even in birthday cards. Microchips are everywhere in our society today. The current estimate is that there are 100 of them in use for every computer today. I'm not talking about the microprocessors and computers elsewhere. In 1995, 3.5 billion of these little guys were produced. 1996, 6 billion. 1997, 7 billion. And it's estimated there will be more than 25 billion in use in time for the year 2000. Luckily, only 3% of these care what the date is. Unfortunately, even one failure, even just, you know, like the leaven, even one failure can cause the whole system to break. These things are extremely difficult to test and to fix, because unlike a computer, if the program doesn't work right, we can go in and change the program and load it back in and run. On this is the program's burned into this chip, and in most cases cannot be reprogrammed. It's very difficult to test. The Institute of Electrical Engineers has warned us of very, very serious problems with microchips built into machinery. You see, a manufacturer can put this in a medical device, for instance, and it will help protect them. If the medical device, for instance, we have infusion pumps in the hospital, those have to be recalibrated every 6 months. And that's a good thing, because if you're getting an infusion, you want it to be properly calibrated. So what the manufacturer does is they put this little microchip in there that forces maintenance every 6 months, warns you for 6 months after that you are overdue on calibration, and after a year, shuts the machine down. It won't come back up until it is recalibrated. Unfortunately, if this chip thinks in 1999 that it was recalibrated in December of 99, the clock rolls over to 1900, says it hasn't been calibrated in 100 years, shuts the machine down flat. This is a very serious problem in the hospital industry. We're estimating now, we have over a $3 million budget for data processing. We're estimating that we're going to go much over that for all of our durable medical equipment. We've done our inventory and have over 1,400 medical devices with microchips in them that have the potential of failing. This is no coincidence in God's plans. Most of these microchips, by the way, when they fail, if they fail, we'll just go into slowdown mode. And you've seen this if you've ever seen the traffic light system when it goes into its slow mode. And then all the traffic jams up, but it still sort of works. The Florida Department of Transportation is concerned that if traffic light control systems aren't U 2000 compliant, that motorists could be killed or injured. This is a very, very serious problem. I'm going to ask you to take out your credit cards now. If you look on your credit card, you'll probably find that most credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, will not have an expiration date beyond, throwing away money, beyond the year 2000, beyond 1999, reason being that 60% of point-of-sale terminals or the computers associated with them will not handle dates beyond that. During a recent test of a security system, for instance, our data center, our hospital has a automated security system, it's card entry. During a recent test, they moved the clock up to the year 1999, December 31. When it rolled over, all security authorizations were revoked, and they had to go back to manual keys until they could re-enter in all the IDs and reset the password dates. This is going to affect elevators, medical equipment, microchips to enforce maintenance, infusion pumps, x-rays, MRIs, CAT scanners, dialysis machines, lithotripsers. This is just a partial list of what we have in the hospital. But it's also going to affect things like phone systems, parking systems, heating and cooling systems, which, by the way, if those aren't working, you can't occupy the building in these large buildings. Electrical distribution and so forth. Remember a few years back when Northern California, Nevada, and three other states had a blackout for about a half a day? That was caused by the failure of one component in one segment of the electrical grid. They had a fire in one segment, knocked out that segment, and as a result, it knocked out four states. The Hawaiian Electric Company tried a test, and they isolated one segment of their grid and did a year 2000 test. As a result, a failsafe tripped in and their entire electrical grid went down. This is one of the potentials that we have. In Luke 21:26, we have a description of a time when men's hearts will fail them for fear, looking for those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is no coincidence in God's plans that all of these things are happening. Businesses absolutely require computers to run. I'll give you the example. I went in Target the other night. Their computers were down. I had one item, exact change, and I had to wait 15 minutes for their system to come back up because it's not just a cash register. It's cash reconciliation. It's cash control. It's inventory control. It's ordering. Because, of course, they don't keep stock anymore. They get it every day in the truck. It's trend analysis. I'm involved with data mining. We do extensive mining of the data to find out trends, to find out if Tickle Me Elmo is a good toy to stock this year or not. This is no coincidence in God's plan. According to one study, New York City is very concerned, so they have a very active program. They hired consultants to come in and analyze each of the infrastructure needs of New York City and what their probable outcome was. Here's what they came up with. The electrical supply will be available only 50% from January 1st through 10th. Emergency rooms will only be available in the hospitals and won't do any regular work for the first 4 weeks of the year. Schools will be closed for 4 weeks. Stock market and banks will be closed for the first 8 days of January. The phone system will be 50% available during the first 10 days of that month. Transportation, air, rail, and bus will experience disruptions for 30 days, and widespread disruptions in New York City will occur for the first 10 days of January 2000. This was a consultant scientific study that they did. They also looked at London. They're not in as good a shape. These are large cities. I went to Castleberry they're not even aware that there is a problem. Kind of reminds me of a Florida convention that's coming up in 2 weeks. Theme scripture: there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And we realize that this is no coincidence in God's plans. So what may we conclude? Well, even if this problem is grossly exaggerated, and I can tell you from my standpoint and my testings it's not, there is a real problem. The information age has added to the wealth of the Laodicean period, just as predicted in the scriptures. There are at least 5 computer problems: date representation, rollover, calculations, day of week, and leap year. There are at least 5 layers within the computer model of any computer, and there are many different levels of interface computers. Productivity, efficiency, and all of these things have been built upon these very complex automated models. And business complexity dictates that computers be there and be working properly. Microprocessors are going to be a tremendous problem. They're hard to detect. In fact, this is one of the big challenges we have in the hospital. And our rule is, if it has a battery or it has an electrical plug, we have to check the equipment, because many of these may not even be obvious. So that's a big problem as well. Many businesses and governments will not be ready. And the United States, by the way, is well ahead of Europe, and Asia is in severe shape on this. This is a business problem, an electronic problem, a government problem, a financial problem, a worldwide problem. In fact, if you want to talk about leveling of the field, this will least impact those third world nations, because they're not depending on this extensive computer model and paradigm. And they get their food in the morning, they eat, they sleep. I mean, they have a simple lifestyle. It's not going to impact them that much. But what does this mean to you? Well, when we look at these things, it's a very scary picture. And we would just like to ignore the media, but you can't. And in fact, I think this is going to pick up to a fever pitch in 1999. You're all going to be very aware. There's going to be a lot of woe and doom type of information. But as we know in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6, the Lord warns us, but of the times and seasons, brethren, I would have that you know about these things. Don't be ignorant on these things. These are things in the world that will affect our lives. But how should we respond? You know, if we respond with the eyes of the flesh, we're going to have fear. We're going to have anxiety. But if we respond with the eyes of the Spirit, we will have joy and peace despite the tribulation. The pastor writes in the 6th volume that there shall be a time come when men shall cast their gold and silver into the streets, and it will not be able to deliver them. We're very materialistic in the United States, in Canada, right now. There's going to come a time when all of those millions of dollars are not going to rescue the people. This is spoken of in James as that final day of the Lord. This will come to pass. And this is no mistake in God's plan. Proverbs 11:4 directs us what our response should be. Riches profiteth not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The depth of disparity is what the world may soon be facing. But brethren, we have a different perspective, because we realize there's a tearing down that must come before the building up. And we have to maintain that perspective. It's really given to us by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. But we have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This has been described as the year 2000 crisis. There are projections that this will cause, at minimum, a major economic recession. And now the economists are starting to talk about a depression. This is a crisis. But you know, I like the Chinese word for crisis. It's made of 2 symbols, danger and opportunity. Brethren, we need to be focused in on what the opportunity is. The danger is really just something to deal with in the flesh. We need to be like the wise virgins and not the foolish virgins. So as these perilous times approach, let us be diligent. Let us watch. Let us gather together as the Scriptures admonish us. For this time will come. Is this the end? We don't know. I don't think so, because if it was that easy, too many people would predict it. But this will be a major pang. We should face this with a sense of urgency to make our election sure. Let us keep in mind that the time is short. Let us maintain spiritual focus. And when you see these things come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Because by the Heavenly Father, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.
We want to thank Brother Goodman for that timely discourse. If you ever wonder or ask the question like Daniel did, oh Lord, how long? I think we now know it's the year 2000. But seriously though, when you look in that text in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says that this perilous time shall come. In the following verse, it says, for men are lovers of money. And so we can relate those things. Again, we thank Brother Goodman for that timely talk.